To draw a rough sketch of what defines paganism, you would have to buy an extra-large manila notebook. This is because paganism does not only refer to one type of religion, but a house full of religious types. You can associate any type of magical, polytheistic, animalistic, or agricultural rituals to the paganistic faith. Its emphasis is upon the supernatural and the aspects of nature. Yet small in existence, paganism was still present in the Middle Ages through ritual, witchcraft, mythology of gods and goddesses, and symbolism found through their ceremonial acts. The Middle Ages of European history, also known as the Medieval Ages, was a period that lasted roughly a millennium, from the end of the 5th century to the beginning of the 16th century. Even if paganism dates all the way back to the ancient Roman and Greek periods, it moved aside and gave way when the Reformation arrived in Europe. Although paganism survived up until the medieval time period, Christianity became powerful enough to wipe the majority of the pagan European society. However, the morsel of paganism that remained in Europe confided on higher powers through astrology and mystical witchcraft.
Hard times in the world of medieval Europe left people in doubt of God's control and care. Poor living conditions and widespread illness led people also to desperate attempts at controlling their well-being. Thus, the pursuit of pagan acts such as witchcraft and astrology played a small, somewhat hidden role in the predominantly Christian-oriented Middle Ages. Witchcraft refers to the dependence, belief, and rituals in supernatural powers. Many times we think of witches as being old, creepy women with moles and huge pointed hats. Well, that part might be half true, but mostly witches were pretty normal people, women for the most part, who simply experimented with potions and spells. Witches were also those claimed to be heretics. Anyone can make a claim on someone else being a heretic, so avoiding the image of witchery was very important to those who were involved with it. Once someone was accused of witchcraft or heresy, they were put to test to see whether the accusation was true. The most famous of these tests is the drowning test. The supposed witch was bound up and thrown into a pit of water. If she did not drown, she was obviously using her witchery and was a witch. But if she did drown, she was not a witch after all. As you can see, this was a lose-lose situation for everyone. One of the reasons that witchcraft was as present as it was is due to the lack of knowledge in the medieval days. There was not much explanation for odd events or things as simple as blizzards and lightning. When people did what we think of as science experiments, many thought of that as witchcraft because it was considered outside of the box and too weird to be normal. Another form of pagan worship was astrology. Originally just a means of exploring the universe, it was looked down upon during the medieval times. AllSands.com says, astrology, although not a part of popular culture, played an important role in attempting to predict courses of events and such. At first, it was shunned because it was thought that admitting the validity of astrology would be denying that God was omnipotent, which would be bordering on blasphemy. There was a thing called nativities as well, and these were similar to modern-day horoscopes because each person had a link from their birth date to a certain position of stars in the sky that predicted when things would happen in their life. This practice was not very widespread because of the threat of punishment by the Christian church, but nevertheless, it was taken seriously by those who participated in it. While nature was highly worshipped, others sought guidance from gods and goddesses.
During the Middle Ages, Christians considered anybody different to be a pagan. One of these are the Norse people, who had many gods and goddesses they worshipped. They are as follows. In the Norse religion, there were three different types of gods. There was the Æsir, the Vanir, and the Aten. Odin was father of all gods and men, so he's kind of like the Zeus from Greek culture. Pictured wearing a winged helm or a floppy hat and a blue-gray cloak. You could probably picture Gandalf the Grey wearing this. He can travel to any realm within the nine Nordic worlds. He is the god of magic, wisdom, wit, and learning. Wednesday is claimed to be named after him. The next one is Thor, god of thunder. Thor is strength personified. Thor is the most barbarian of the lot. He is rugged, powerful, and lives by his own rules, although he is still faithful to the Æsir. The day Thursday is claimed to be named after him. Freya is considered to be the goddess of love and beauty. Friday is claimed to be named after her, although there's a debate whether or not it's named after Odin's wife, because their names are so similar. She's known as the Queen of the Valkyries, and she belongs to the Vanir race of the gods. Freyr is Freya's twin brother. He is the horned god of fertility. He is also part of the Vanir race of gods. The boar is his sacred symbol, and the boar is both associated with war and with fertility. Tyr is the ancient god of war and the lawgiver of the gods. Tyr is an excellent in all manners of justice, fair play, and right action. Now, the most fun one is Loki. He's known as the trickster, and he challenges the structure and the order of the gods, but is necessary in bringing about needed change. He's also known as the god of fire. He belongs to the Eten race of gods, which Eten means elements. He is both a helper and a foe to the Aesir gods. Heimdall is the handsome gold-toothed guardian of Bifrost, which is the home of the gods. The rainbow bridge seems to be a common symbol with Heimdall. Skadi is the goddess of winter and of the hunt. She is also the goddess of justice, vengeance, and the righteous anger, and is the deity who delivers the sentence upon Loki to be bound underground with a serpent dripping poison upon his face in payment for his crimes. She is in modern-day tales many times. She is also referred to as the Snow Queen or Ice Princess.
Along with the gods and goddesses having animals as symbols on their armor, the mortals also believed in having these animals on their armor. Different animals were believed to mean different things and have many different characteristics. For example, in the Middle Ages, the people viewed the crow as a symbol of death, knowledge, prophecy, skill, trickery, or thievery. Not only was it believed that crows symbolized these traits, but the people also believed that crows were fairies that would shapeshift into these birds just to cause trouble. Another pagan symbol of an animal was the boar. The boar was believed to represent a warrior spirit, someone who was fierce, had courage, and the leadership honored during that period. The boar was often used because the animal is strong, dangerous, difficult to kill, and will not yield to anyone. The knights in the Middle Ages would often use the boar, along with other ferocious animals, because they believed by having the boar on their shield or armor, it had some magical power to grant the knight these characteristics represented by the boar. In conclusion, paganism was very much still active in the Middle Ages through pagan acts such as witchcraft and astrology, the worship of Norse gods and goddesses, and the many pagan symbols.
So even though the Middle Ages seemed to be strictly Christian, we can now see there was underlying issues with paganism, just like there is today.
While paganism is not often talked about and does not seem to play an important part in their culture, it has affected people long before and has continued to last through today.